Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, welcome everyone to the Fishermen Ministry Grace Ranch service in West Texas. So let us praise and worship the Lord and come into His presence. Well, Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. And Father, may we enter into that rest, and may we cease from our own works, and may our ears be opened and our hearts open to Thy word this day, that we may go forth and it may feed us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Prepare me to
to be a sanctuary, pure and bright and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Good morning, everybody. That was cool, the songs we sang this morning, because it kind of goes along with what I was going to talk about today, is the Lord Jesus Christ died for us on that cross. And every single morning, what I do, not every single morning because I fall short, but every morning I seek him first. And I seek to remind myself of his sacrifice for me, because he did it for me and for you and for the whole world. He took on all that sin for the whole world. And if I forget that, I have to remind myself of that, because then I start to get prideful and get attitudes and all that kind of stuff. And so in the morning, it's a good idea to humble yourself before him and to remember that, all that stuff. He died for us on that cross. And what Ricky said last week, I heard a little bit of what he said last week, and one thing that stood out to me was, what are you waiting for? You're in the jail with the door open. Why? So that kind of stood out to me, and I've been praying about it this week, and I came up with, the Lord showed me a couple verses in 1 Peter 4 that I wanted to read to you this morning. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now, what stood out to me in these verses is, first of all, Christ suffered for us in the flesh. He died for us, and we are to give up, as Christians, our lives for him. And it says to arm ourselves. What would we arm ourselves with? I mean, an arm is a weapon of war. It's a fight. You have to get that battle going on against the carnal mind and against the enemy. So, and it talks about in Ephesians 6 about arming yourself with the breastplate of righteousness and your loins girt about with truth and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, and the helmet of salvation, which is your mind choosing God. Choosing Him is what we have to do constantly. It's a choice. And in that second verse, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, but to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, the rest of my time kind of stood out to me because here I am, kind of an older person. I don't have a lot of rest of my time, probably. I don't know. But it's important to choose him now. Every single moment. This is the time, right this moment. Choose him. We don't know how much time we have left. We have to let the past go and live for today. There are a lot of times that I go back to the past. I know with my sister ministering the gospel to her, she wouldn't let the past go for years. I talked to her for 4 solid years. About Jesus and about letting things go. He forgives. He asks forgiveness of him and he lets it go. Why are you hanging on to it? Stop hanging on to it. Let the past go and start right now in your heart. Ask the Lord for a clean heart and go forth in that and let the other stuff go and separate yourself from the unbelief. Get rid of it. And skipping down to verse 8 is another one of my favorites here. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, fervent charity is loving one another, but it's loving one another the way the Lord would have us love one another and the way the Lord loves us. And I know I fail at that, and I know what I have to do, and I know through him he will work it in me if I allow it. He works these things in us to get us right if we will yield unto him and exercise ourselves in that fervent charity, ministering grace one to another as we go through the day, so that we can go out there and preach the gospel and not get hung up about what people think about us. Because that's not at all what it's about. It's about the Lord and those people out there that need him, which is everybody. Everybody needs him. And remember that fear of the Lord is without him you can do nothing. And also, without him you can do nothing. And that other verse that's kind of converse but the same thing is that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So anytime you have that fear that comes from the enemy, you can knock it down and say, no, that's not from the Lord. That is the enemy coming against me. No, I know that through him I can do anything. It says right in the word, and I believe that word, and it's true. And I know he's working on us all. And it says, the next one, next verse, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, using hospitality one to another without grudging is putting off that flesh and that carnal mind and stomping it underfoot and not giving it any place. And as every man hath received the gift, it's not something we've earned, it's a gift. It was given to us by the Lord. And if we receive that gift, we can also minister the same to another and pass that on. Bring others that need him to know him. And I guess, I don't know, I think I'm done with that. And praise the Lord for the Vermont service this morning. It was cool to hear the Vermont service once again. That was awesome. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Lord, for working in everyone that's around in the ministry, getting things done. The Lord is working mightily, and it is the coolest thing to see. Amen.
Hello again. I figured I'd try coming up second this time instead of last time it was first. Today I would like to talk about having a weakness, knowing you have a weakness, and not being prepared, that weakness being exploited. For me personally, when I get tired, I get weak. And what I mean by weak is I get weak by getting a quick attitude, wrongful attitude, getting angry, getting upset, getting down in the dumps. And there's some other things that I have that contribute to moodiness. And I know this. I know it can be a problem. And you would think after all these years I would figure out that I need to be aware and prepared to stop it in its tracks. Sadly, this last week, probably a couple weeks, I did not do that. And with a lot of the latest messages being preached recently about judgment, about the right kind of judgment, God's judgment, versus the bad kind of judgment, which is ours. Prideful, not being treated the way you want to be treated, and, you know, why is this person doing this, and why is that person doing that? I found myself in that boat after all the messages that have been preached about it. And I realized, after I had a little mini blow-up with Bob, why I would have a blow-up with Bob, I don't know, but it happened. And it turned out into, first it was yelling at him and in a way blaming him for all the problems, to me turning out venting. And it was after that, when everything was said and done, I had calmed down, that I realized I wasn't prepared, and I let the devil turn things around. Things have been going well with me. I've been more calm, more energized to do things, even though I've been tired. And in that little bout of weakness and not being prepared and paying attention to my surroundings, he took a pet peeve of mine and blew it all up into out of proportion, to where I was very discombobulated. And I was revisiting the past and finding myself being afraid that the past was going to repeat itself again. Yeah, I talked about last time about being afraid of the future. What I fight against is it's not the unknown of the future. It's afraid that my future is going to be my past. I found that popping up when I was venting with Bob. And it's amazing how just a little itty bit of thought, just something pop into your head, just a You know, you're tired. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff you have to do. There's a lot of stuff everybody has to do, and you're behind. You're getting up early. You're putting in the effort. And then you find yourself looking around, and you let that little thought pop into your head. Why isn't other people putting in that same effort? And then you dwell on it. And then the next thing you know, you are very much in the realm of judgment, and now you are looking at everybody and judging everything that everybody's doing. And I had nobody to blame but myself for falling into that. Who was I to pay attention to anybody else? Doesn't it say you're supposed to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? I should have been paying attention to what I needed to do, what the Lord would have me do, and what I needed to do to accomplish that. And by not paying attention to my surroundings and what was going on with me, I fell into it. And it made me think of some scriptures, and that how important it is now more than ever to be prepared for these things. Now, I pray and I hope that the weaknesses that I have right now will no longer be. And as the days progress, they are going to slowly go away. Or better yet, slowly go away. Maybe they be gone tomorrow. And, you know, you've heard it been said, you know, stuff is going to be hitting the fan, and we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for ourselves. We need to be prepared for those that we stand with, for the Lord. And we need to be prepared for the people that are going to be coming to learn more about Him. And that starts with what's going on in our head, what's going on with our emotions, our feelings, the way we feel, whether we're tired, we're not tired, the stuff that we have to do. And what brought to mind was that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He's looking for the opportunity to find that weakness and exploit it. What could be a little itty-bitty sliver can become a great infectious wound. Take care of the sliver before it gets infected. You also find it in another area, in John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So once again, the second part of the thief cometh. You know, he cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the Lord made a way for that not to happen. And he says it there in the second part, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And it's only if our eyes are on him and choosing him in every moment. And this last couple of weeks, that's not what I did. There is a saying, I don't remember who said it, but I might have been around during one of the conferences. I'm not sure. I found it randomly on a sticky note. And it goes, "When you serve yourself, you will see everything wrong in those around you." And that is what happens when you don't have your eyes on the Lord. And that is how the devil gets his way in there. Your eyes get off him and they get on you and everything around you. And now the next bit was having to remind myself, well, how do I be sober? How do I be vigilant? How do I pay attention to these surroundings so I don't fall into this yet again? And that brought me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'll start with that. It's going to be a few verses. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the dark, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on righteousness, and your with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I mean, there's the instructions. Put on the whole armor of God. Remembering that the things that we're battling are a lot of times unseen. And if we're properly prepared and our eyes are on Him, we'll have a better opportunity of seeing it and catching it. And I know for me personally, it's something I need to learn how to do. I may have had the, you know, I may have been a bit of a fighter. But for a few years, it was, I let that get squeezed out of me. And now I'm having to relearn to fight. And some of that's even standing up here today. I mean, it's training. I'm supposed to be a doer of the word. Got to get up and do it. And if my eyes are on Him, I trust Him, I'll be ready in season and out of season for whatever comes my way. And I'll be more watchful and knowing when those little fiery darts and little sneakins of the devil are trying to get at me. So, I think that's it for me, and hope that helps.
I'm going to go over to 1 Peter this morning too. And I'm going to go in 5, and I think this is going to tie in. Starting at 5:1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is working and expanding this fellowship. As we can see by Vermont today, back online again. That's a praise God. Because we know there are those there in Vermont who can and will and want to have the Lord. And we know that here at the ranch, the Lord is working on all of us. He's working on us to become what he needs us to be for others to be able to come here and learn. And the best way of learning is to seeing how a thing is done. To be that sample. Even when we get it wrong, we have to get it right. Just like Cheryl was saying about the little meltdown she had the other day, which was no big deal. But she recognizes it. I recognized it. Each and every one of us has to grow. We have to remember to put that shield up when the fiery darts come towards us. You think about it, when you put on the whole armor of God and you take up that shield, you don't hang it on your back like you see in the movies. You're not dragging it on the ground alongside you. The only way you can protect yourself with that shield is to hold it up between you and him. each and every one of us can handle that shield. Each and every one of us can walk in the armor of God. And the Lord is going to use us because we are all growing here. We are becoming what He wants us to be. And yes, there's going to be times that things aren't going to be exactly how we think they ought to be going. But what we think doesn't matter. If we are doing what Jesus Christ is wanting us to do, and we are fighting against the devil at every turn when he tries to get into us, then Jesus will use this ministry. He will use this ranch. He will bring people out here, and he will reveal himself to them. Let me repeat that. He will reveal himself to them. We've had others before that sat in a little bitty box cabin in a corner and without saying anything to anybody just prayed, "Hey, I've got a question. If so-and-so's of God, send them down." Just so happened at the time it was Richard who was here. And he said that prayer, "If Richard be a man of God, let him come down and let me ask a question of him." There was nobody around when he prayed this. There was no communication. And Richard heard the Lord and came down. Amazed the man. The man asked his question. Richard answered it and said, "Okay, that's it. I'll see you later." And took off again and went back up to his place. Where's that man today? Where is he? The Lord revealed himself to him by answering that prayer so perfectly, so completely. The same gentleman had several other examples of the Lord while he was here. But where is he? How many times have how many people come through and been around and seen the Lord work in their lives? So that there was no question in their mind that it was the Lord. It wasn't Davey, it wasn't Ann, it wasn't Steve, it wasn't Charlie, it wasn't Bob, it wasn't Cheryl, it wasn't whoever. The Lord showed them directly who He is and what He is capable of. And they've made their choice. Because they're not here. All we can do is pray that they will still learn, that they haven't made the final decision, and will end up standing before Him that day saying, "Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in Your name?" And end up going straight to hell. Have you made your choice? Have you made up your mind to serve the living God and Him only? The choice is yours. All of us that are here know Him. We know Him. We know who He is. We know what He's capable of. He answers prayers constantly. And we pray that if you listen to this, get a hold of us. Contact the ministry. It doesn't matter who you contact or where you contact. We all use the same Bible.
the answers you get will be the same no matter who you speak to. Because we all speak the King James Bible. We all speak the Word of God. We stand by His truth. And we stand by Jesus Christ. Amen.
Give the Lord a cheer.
By grace can we
the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Well, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, may we enter into that rest. For within that rest, there is no past. There is only hope and praise of you and promises, your promises, that we may go forth in you and be free from this body of sin and death. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.